Prosecutor Nathan Wade resigns. Now, what are the implications for Fulton County DA Fonnie Willis? Attorney Jordana Schifanelli will tell us, indicates two levels of justice. And then Senator Chuck Schumer says Israel needs new leadership and Netanyahu has to go. Intel analyst Ilana Friedman talks about the two-state delusion. Attorney Tom Rentz and Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the 2024 election and Trump's recent Truth Social post taking a bow against Joe Biden for the rush to market on vaccines. And is RFK Jr. a bigger threat to Biden or Trump? And finally, the immigration app by the Biden administration plays to the red carpet treatment of the administration. Executive Director Mark Gregorian talks about the lawsuit that the Center for Immigration Studies has filed against the administration on flying migrants directly into the United States, avoiding the border and the process altogether. It's all next on Viewpoint this Sunday.
Time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit, and bring forth real talk from real people about real news, providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation, all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to the Weekend News Magazine, Viewpoint This Sunday. It is Malcolm out loud here. One of the big stories this week, my fellow Americans, has got to be the comments coming from Senator Chuck Schumer on the state of Israel, on the state of the Middle East war. And some of these comments were shocking. We're going to take a deep dive there. A lot of interesting things, by the way, coming back about Operation Warp Speed, the vaccines, Trump, all of that. That's another explosive conversation. Immigration. We've got an incredible hour ahead here. Attorney Tom Rentz will be here. Dr. Peter McCullough will be here. Immigration, Center for Immigration Studies, one of the best voices, Mark Gregorian will be here. And we're going to start up at the top of the broadcast. And I want to jump first, though, into this story, some of the legal mess with Fonnie Willis. Jordana Schifanelli joins me right here. And Jordana is an attorney. She's also an economist and adjunct professor of law and economics at the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland. Been a great voice for freedom, fighting for our children. She was candidate for lieutenant governor of Maryland on the ticket there with Dan Cox. Fights the radical communist in every way that she can. Jordana Schifanelli, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you for having me.
All right, let's talk first. I want to get your thoughts from a legal perspective, Jordana, about how Fonnie Willis. So the judge ruled that the Fulton County DA and the entire staff must step aside, or a special prosecutor, Nathan Wade, must withdraw from the Trump case. And of course, we see what happened. As to be expected, Nathan Wade stepped aside immediately there. Jonathan Turley, who's been very outspoken about this, reacted to Judge McAfee's ruling. So Turley said this, and I quote, "It's like finding two people in a bank vault and taking one off to jail. They both testified in the same way. They were the two parts of this relationship, and yet only one of them was disqualified. Why should Willis escape these consequences?" Okay, do you agree with that statement from Turley, or did the judge get it right here?
I totally agree with Professor Jonathan Turley. He is often so on point, but I would also add something even more sinister here.
Okay.
When the judge gets to do the job, the judge's job is not to play some kind of fairness game, but to apply the law to the fullest extent that's before him. So when the judge said either or, it almost seemed to me as an ultimatum where both Fannie Willis and Mr. Wade were caught red-handed together. So what had to happen was she and the entire team, including Mr. Wade, had to be removed. There is no either you do this or I do this. They all have to be removed. And in addition to that, judge also had stricken six counts from a 13-count charging document. What was left to analyze is what are the other seven counts and why didn't judge remove the entire case and dismiss the entire case, because it was ripe for dismissal at the same time when the charges were removed and when Mr. Wade was given an option or either or to remove. I've never seen such a thing. In other words, in the courtroom and as I practice law, there is no either you do this or I do that. There's no such thing in the law for the judge to do. The judge has to do the right thing. And the right thing would be where both people engaged in an inappropriate behavior, not because they were lovers, not because Wade was cheating on his wife with Fannie Willis, but because Fannie Willis lied on a stand. She should have been impeached, fined, and removed right there.
Right.
As well as Mr. Wade, who was caught, who was testifying during the hearing, inconsistently to the facts that were brought before him. And they're both barred attorneys in the state of Georgia.
Right,
they
right.
have ethics rules, and they have a personal professional conduct to uphold.
First of all, the judge is in a heavily, heavily Democratic area. He is up for election here, and he was walking. This became, he's, in fact, he put out a, you know, it's kind of funny or odd, Jordana. When somebody says to me, well, I'm going to make a decision, but it's not, no politics involved. It's not going to be political. My antenna goes up immediately to tell me, oh, it's political. Is that what the judge did here or what?
Well, that's what judges are always seem to be caught on trying to do, trying to play fair.
Right.
And, you know, with the law, there's no playing it. It has to be either, you know, you uphold the law or you don't. Is Fannie Willis more guilty knowing that she holds this position of trust, of public trust, and then hiring her lover, knowing he had no criminal experience in any kind of criminal prosecution? He was a civil attorney, and he was doing mostly insurance type of civil claims. So why he, out of all other qualified individuals, to actually do the job that was apparently needed to be done or to review whether right. President Trump had engaged in some kind of...
Is it safe to say that she's not out of the woods, however, the DA? She could be, the Bar Association is looking at this, the state is looking at it, the county is looking at it. I mean, there potentially will be other consequences, do you think, or does she just escape all of this?
I think she's going to escape all of this, because in order to have any kind of consequences with the bar, there has to be a bar complaint, and it's obviously confidential. Unfortunately, from the experiences we've seen in the last 4 years, the Democrat candidates, prosecutors, or whoever can do no wrong, and there's never a consequence. So I lost faith in equal justice for all, if I may say.
Too many are getting off for crimes that they should not be, and others are being charged for things they shouldn't be. It is an upside down justice system, which you and I have talked about plenty. All right. Jordana, stay right there a moment here. We'll get back just a moment here. And I want to bring on next here, Ilana Friedman joins me. Ilana's a veteran intelligence analyst, advisor, and intelligence-led counterterrorism solutions. Fantastic author, writer. I'll tell you about an op-ed she's got on the piece as well. But let me jump right now, Ilana, into Israel. And Israel's a place you know very, very well. You raised your family there, spent 16-plus years, so you can speak very well about it. And as a counterterrorism expert, you know the dangers of Hamas. So what was shocking about this, Ilana, is that Senator Chuck Schumer, this was a surprise. Not much surprises me about these cats, but this one did, that he came out in the public space. And he says here, I have known Prime Minister Netanyahu for a long time. While we have vehemently disagreed on many occasions, I will always respect his extraordinary bravery for Israel on the battlefield as a younger man. I believe in his heart, his highest priority is the security of Israel. However, I also believe Prime Minister Netanyahu has lost his way by allowing the political survival to take precedence over the best interest of Israel. And here's the drum roll stuff coming up here now. At this critical juncture, I believe a new election is the only way to allow for a healthy and open decision-making process about the future of Israel at a time when so many Israelis have lost their confidence in the vision and direction of the government. The only real sustainable solution to the decades-old conflict is a two-state solution, a demilitarized Palestinian state living side by side with Israel in equal measures, is what he's saying. He goes on to ask to replace the government and replace Netanyahu to really intervene in their politics. Ilana, this, how shocking was this statement to you?
I think he's a pompous ass. And he commands the, listen, he has an important position. He is the Democrat leader of the Senate.
Damage was done with the statement that he made.
I don't know how much damage was done, because the effect of this statement is still playing out. But I will tell you that two of the things that you quoted him as saying are just dead wrong. You don't change a government in the middle of a war. I mean, that strategically and tactically is such a bad idea, and he should never have used his bully pulpit to promote that idea. The second thing is that the two-state solution would legitimize a terrorist state inside of Israel's encompassing borders and put the Jewish state in a constant state of terrorist alert. This is something that is so egregious, because and the people who promote it don't understand that the Palestinians have never accepted the idea of a two-state solution. They want a one-state solution, and the state should be theirs under an Islamic state. Israel should be gone. When they say from the river to the sea, they're not kidding. They mean from the Jordan River, which is Israel's eastern border, to the Mediterranean Sea, which is Israel's western border. And remember that Israel is a tiny country. It's the size of New Jersey.
Right.
You could stick it in the Lake Michigan, and it would be, you could still have all your ships and boats around it. Mm. It's crazy. This is the idea that you then split this, legitimize a terrorist state within this tiny country is just, it's mind-boggling.
Ilana, Joe Biden, I seen him on record the other day coming out. He said it was a good speech. He did not draw back. He did not walk it back. He did not. Obviously, can we assume that for Chuck Schumer to make those comments on the Senate floor and say what he said, he had the permission, the green light from Joe Biden, from the Biden administration?
Oh, I expect he did, from the administration, not from Joe Biden. I don't think Joe Biden is capable of doing very much.
Biden says, well, no, we're not going to stop funding or this or that. But yet Netanyahu's not going to back down. The Israeli government's not going to back down. I don't see Netanyahu stepping down unless you tell me differently here. So what's the end game on this? What's the point?
Well, I'm not going to tell you differently. I don't think he's going to step down. I certainly not willingly. And, you know, even while they are trying to attack Hamas, they are fighting off Hezbollah in the north, and they're being attacked by the Houthis in the south.
Yeah.
And this is a very, very complex situation. And I think what Netanyahu is doing is concentrating most of his efforts in Gaza while trying to protect the rest of the country.
Yeah.
He is doing that, he is making enormous progress. It's taken a lot longer than they thought it would. I personally think that they will never be able to completely wipe out Hamas.
Yeah,
because Hamas is
exactly. Does Netanyahu, do we look at him, will history look at him as a hero or a villain in this thing? Which one?
Hero.
Okay, interesting. All right, very much. Okay, stay right there, Ilana. I want to bring Joe Dennis Schiaffinelli back in. And Congressman Thomas Massie of Kentucky, and I quote, these are his words, "This so-called TikTok ban is a Trojan horse. The president will be given the power to ban websites, not just apps, but other websites. The person breaking the new law is deemed to be the U.S. or offshore internet hosting service or app story, not a foreign adversary." Now, this was interesting. Elon Musk chimed in on top of that, Jordan, and he said, this law is not just about TikTok. It's about censorship and government control. If we were only about TikTok, it would cite foreign control as the issue, but it does not. What do you say to this? Is this TikTok ban a good thing or a bad thing?
The TikTok ban is a bad thing, and I would listen to Elon and President Trump and Thomas Massie, who, and those people who actually read it. It's very broad. And what I think the Democrats and some of the uniparty rhinos, as I call them, had done very well is to name TikTok in it, but to then turn around and have a comma in that section to say, and the president has the right to ban any other website.
Right.
So when the president of the United States gets engaged and involved in banning websites that he deems not appropriate, that's when everybody's hair should be in flame. That's where the law becomes unconstitutional to stop our freedom of expression and speech on the website. So I think that law will fail in front of the Supreme Court if it ever gets there, if it ever gets passed in the Senate. Because it's too overbroad, giving the president of the United States the right to ban anybody else's website he doesn't like.
If and when that happens, Jordana, I would imagine that America Out Loud would be a threat because our message of freedom. So we would be a threat to this particular bill as well. Trump, by the way, put out a message that said TikTok is less of a danger to the USA than Meta, Facebook, he's saying, which is a true enemy of the people. And they spent a gazillion dollars against me and our great Republican Party, lockboxes and all. And of course, it goes on and on, his message, the president, Trump. But this was clearly accurate. Facebook has been an enemy of freedom and surely has been censoring very, very badly. But yet they get away with it. What's wrong with that picture, Jordana, right? So anyways.
Well, and also the TikTok investors are United States investors. They're not all Chinese. Yeah. I mean, it's a conglomerate. It's a holding of many investors. So I think that, again, Republicans really easily get tricked by the Democrats who push their agenda and then sneak underneath the actual intent,
it's
which is to ban any website and any speech.
It's a slippery slope, for sure. You're exactly right. Man, you're a great voice for freedom. You always are. Jordana Schifanelli, Ilana Friedman, thank you both for joining us here on Top of the Broadcast and getting us started here. My friends, it's all back at AmericaOutloud.news is the place we want you to go and share the out loud truth. We are right there on the front lines, making all the differences, as we just talked about. Many voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment, adorns right at the top of our news site here. Help us share the out loud truth. Okay, stay right there. We're going to wind it up just a little bit here. Going to have a pretty heavy lift here. Big conversations coming up with Attorney Tom Renz, Dr. Peter McCullough. Stay right there. More Viewpoint in just a moment.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Don't accept joint aches and stiffness as part of aging. Doctors at Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexibility. And Healthy Cell's not a pill, it's a gel you swallow. Get 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
Welcome back to Viewpoint this Sunday, the weekend news magazine, and thank you for joining me, my fellow Americans. Always a privilege to have you on the mission, and we've got a big segment we're going to have right now, big conversation here. Two voices right now that have been at the front of medical freedom these past many years, and they are big voices for freedom in our nation. Attorney Tom Rentz is here. Attorney Tom Rentz is out of Ohio, the state of Ohio, and has been really at the forefront of a lot of lawsuits and initiatives with COVID. Of course, he is the host of the Tom Rentz Show on the network as well. And joining me as well, a privilege always to have our colleague and just a dear, dear person, Dr. Peter McCullough is here. And Dr. McCullough is an academic internist. He's a cardiologist, epidemiologist from Dallas, Texas. Of course, everybody knows who Dr. McCullough is. And the McCullough Report plays here on Saturday, Sunday. And of course, we do Pulse, which is our big weekday show as well. So State of the Union, Joe Biden says this, and I quote, "The pandemic no longer controls our lives. The vaccines that saved us from COVID are now being used to help beat cancer, turning setback into comeback. That's what America does." Okay. Well, Donald Trump seen that. And as Newsweek said, with just one post, he enraged Republicans and upset a good part of the base. And he said, and I quote, "The pandemic no longer controls our lives. The vaccines that saved us from COVID are now being used to help beat cancer, turning setback into comeback." You're welcome, Joe. 9 months approval time versus 12 years that it would have taken you, he wrote in the social media post. Now, this was very fiery. You got the base pretty lit up, and including Tom Rentz did a whole show on this and said, "President Trump, can you please stop promoting the poisons your base hates?" And you went right at it, Tom, and you talked about the State of the Union speech and what had happened in Trump's comments. Why did this hit such a raw nerve with you, brother?
You know, it was interesting. When this occurred, and my wife is fighting stage four cancer, and when this occurred, I was just up at the cancer ward, where I've got a ton of kids and young people and people who just you wouldn't expect to be there fighting these terrible cancers and these other issues, which, you know, we don't have the studies because naturally they wouldn't fund them. But I can say without really any question in my mind that are absolutely impacted by these vaccines. So for this tone deaf, this is buffoonery. This is absolute buffoonery. It's not just tone deaf. He's got people dying all over the country. Peter, myself, and a bunch of us have done endless work trying to educate people as to the dangers of these poisons. And, you know, this guy's still out here trying to take credit and get a high five for something that's killing his base and that even the Democrats are starting to dislike. It's absolutely incredible that he could have this bad of advisors around him.
Yeah. Well, you said in your post, Tom, you said Trump is wrong on this issue and his approach. But when I talk about it, I get responses from two sides, one stating the jabs are good. And the other suggesting Trump didn't mean exactly what he said.
The four idiots that are saying the jabs are good are typically the bought and paid for shills by pharma at this point. I literally don't know anybody. We're at booster, what, 10 now?
Right.
And, we see the negative efficacy. We see the damage to the immune system. I just wrote a couple weeks ago, dropped the FDA articles from 2006, where they literally acknowledge that these sorts of gene therapy drugs would cause cancer and autoimmune issues. I mean, we've known for decades, if you tinker with people's genetics, you're going to run a risk for cancer. This isn't like magic. When I see this, the idea that they're going to help, you know, the only people who believe in that are brainwashed. The other side, though, is, oh, it's part of a plan. What in the hell are you talking with respect? Because a lot of these people are people that I like. Oh, Trump had to do this and it's part of a plan. Right. If you're asking me to vote for someone who is okay with a plan that involves risking the lives of children and people all over this world on a massive scale with lifelong health issues, that's not a plan. That's insanity. Okay. I would never support someone who knowingly did that. So I got to be honest with you. If you tell me that you would support someone for president who stood aside and not only stood aside, but actually supported a poison that was going to kill children for some greater good, I would tell you that, well, what's the difference between that and Hitler? Hitler told us he was doing it for the greater good.
There are a lot of people who really believe that Trump can do no wrong. Back to your point. And you know what I'm talking about right there.
I do.
And they think he really literally think he walks on water of some sort. I mean, there's a fair amount of people. You pointed up with a following post in a show. Actually, you did the day after that. They said, listen, I'm not part of this Trump cultist business. He said, you said, you're right. I mean, you came right out and made those statements and said, you know, but here's the thing I want to ask you. There's a fine line here, a very fine line, because you're only going to have certain candidates in the race here. You've mentioned very strongly you still support Trump, still support the mission. How do you do that when it appears he's not going to change his mind? In fact, I have evidence even up to this morning that says that. He just won't come out and say what needs to be said. So what do we do? Because you've got him, you've got Joe Biden, and you've got RFK Jr. You've got some other, you know, riffraff in the mix here. They're not going to get anywhere. So what do you do in this case?
Well, you know, at this case, it's you know, when I look at the presidential race, I look at Trump and, you know, he did great on the economy, great on foreign policy, great on all these different things. Right. Generally speaking, he did a great job as president. He has this one area, but it's a major area. The problem is that when I look at the major candidates, and I like Bobby a lot, Bobby is a good guy, but I have a couple deal breakers. You know, his position on some environmental, on some abortions, some guns, stuff like that, those are deal breakers. So I can't go over to Bobby. Biden is the worst thing ever. So I don't know what I'm going to do there. Yeah. So, but Trump, I think, is good for our country. And right now we're in such a bad position. And it's really shocking to say this, but when you consider how close we are to World War III, when you consider the collapse of the dollar, it's literally happening before our eyes. When you consider the weakness that America is showing on foreign policy, the terrorists and Chinese military age men crossing the border at a rate of, you know, thousands per month, we're going to have to take the best we can take, right? Trump's a good guy. He's just being lied to and manipulated on this. And I'm going to tell you, I'm supporting him for president. That ain't going to change. But if he wants to fight this, I'll fight him just like everybody else, because I don't give a crap who it is. If you want to fight over these vaccines, you know, because we're working on Project Next Gen, right?
Right.
I mean, we've got Disease X coming. Disease X and Project Next Gen, I mean, that's the next iteration of this, along with Operation Moonshot.
There's a lot more to happen.
Nothing more. I mean, it's all coming. You know, so he's going to have to deal with it.
At least you've been outspoken and honest about the points here, at the very least, showing how much of a quandary this is. All right, stay right there a moment here. Dr. McCullough, in The Hill, they say this. Throughout the campaign, Trump has performed a complicated tap dance regarding COVID vaccines. He simultaneously wants to take credit for their speedy development, but has also criticized their use and knocked his now former rivals for being too pro-vaccine. And so he's walking this fine line, more or less. What do you think about this conflict, and from even a medical aspect, and then and from a political aspect too, with Trump and the race?
Rasmussen's survey shows that 53% of Americans, this is as of January 2024, believe the vaccines are causing serious side effects leading to large numbers of deaths. Trump has to realize that. You know, he's going against the majority of the nation right now. He's aligning himself with Biden. Why would he want to be aligned with Biden? He wants to separate himself from Biden. I think it's a political blunder of massive proportions.
That's beautiful. What you said right there is perfect. And it is. I stated last couple of years that if he would just have a press conference and come out and just be real, keep it real with the American people, he would garner so much support from that, that it wouldn't be even close to funny. But yet he does not. Do you think he thinks that it's just political expediency for him to stay the course? Is he just doesn't know how to maneuver this? Do you think he doesn't know the damage they're doing? Is he in denial? What do you think it is?
You know, I agree with Tom that the first 3 years of his term were pretty good. I mean, the stock market kept going up after Obama, no new major wars. He didn't crash the economy. He wasn't very good on HR. He hired and fired way too many people. He just couldn't do HR. But the third year of his term was a disaster. You know, he walked us into this pandemic. He picks Anthony Fauci. Gets early treatment for himself, but doesn't, you know, promote it for anybody else out there in a multi-drug protocols, doesn't call in experts like me or Tom or anybody else So, you know, 3 out of 4 years, but the fourth year was a disaster. Now he's continuing it. Now it's been another 4 years. And his support of the vaccines is a massive blunder. Now, I look at it this way, that what he could do, he could come out and say that, listen, it was a crisis. I did everything I could. I'm not a doctor. I was advised, you know, that brought the vaccines forward. And I was lied to by Anthony Fauci. Fauci's stock is in the tank right now. So he could easily say, listen, I was lied to by Fauci. I mean, there's books written about why Fauci should be in jail. So Trump would be in great position there just to say, I was lied to by Fauci. The safety disaster of the vaccines, that happened on Biden's watch. And then he could simply shift the blame to Biden and say, when I get in office, I'm going to make this right. I think if he does that, there is a gushing sound of votes. And then he wins the election.
Hopefully he'll hear this interview and hear what you just said, because that was striking advice here. And listen, do I remember you saying, and correct me on this, but a little while back, I think you said to me on broadcast somewhere, and if this is the case, I'd love to remind listeners that there were some positive things that came out of Operation Warp Speed that he could take a bow for. Did you say something like that? And what would those be if you did?
For sure. The monoclonal antibodies, of which there were 5, clearly showed lives. They played a critical role. They were high tech, and they were truly developed in Operation Warp Speed. Now, remember the messenger RNA vaccines, you know, they go back years and years. You know, the DARPA, a military in the ADEPT P3 program in 2012 on the website says they're using messenger RNAs to end pandemics in 60 days. Trump's advisors should have done a little clicking on the internet to advise Trump to say, listen, you know, our government's been working on messenger RNA vaccines for, you know, for a decade, and we're going to put them into action now. You know, so he was very poorly advised. I mean, it's actually shocking how inept his advisors are. They should know everything so he can be best positioned. He's not a doctor.
Can I interject, Malcolm?
Please.
This was the most incredible wealth transfer in human history. And by this, I mean COVID, not just the vaccines, the whole thing, the lockdowns. They shut down small business permanently. Guess who won? World Economic Forum members. Guess who won when we started pushing these vaccines? World Economic Forum members. Everywhere you look, the benefactors of the trade group, the World Economic Forum, they won with this. In the meantime, we know our CIA and DOD were involved in this whole thing. And we also know paperwork in other areas that have indicated that they were actively working to undermine the president. I've heard lots of credible rumors about where Trump is on this. And I say credible because they're from people in his circle that are, you know, there. I'm not. I've never met Trump. I don't have any special relationship with him. I just think he's probably the best man for the next presidency. I think that Trump is in a very hard spot, and it's been suggested to me multiple times that he's, you know, he doesn't want to take on the big pharma fight right now. You know, after the election, okay, but right now it's just too much, and maybe that's the case. But the problem that I had with the State of the Union wasn't that, okay, if you want to just not talk about these vaccines right now and deal with it later, that's fair enough. But I will not. And I'm gonna take a page from Alex Jones here. I don't care if he doesn't want to talk about them, but if he continues to promote these to kids and to families and to people who are dying, I will go to battle with him on this issue. And he doesn't want that because he will lose.
But if we went along with their strategy, as Alex Jones says, as you're saying, you just said as well, Tom, the point of that, even if he says nothing, which I think you might have even hinted to that the other day to me, possibly, I don't know, Dr. McCullough, but even if he does nothing, isn't that still harmful to all the people who might still do these and get boosters who may die and have life-altering injuries? Isn't that still egregious to human beings? Yes or no, Dr. McCullough?
Yes, but to a small fraction. Remember, very few people are taking the vaccines right now. You know, he may be getting advice to say, listen, this was a bad time. No matter what you say about the vaccines, you're going to go backwards. Just, you know, just don't bring it up. Keep it out of the conversation. I think that's what a lot of senators and congressmen are advised to do. So that brings us back to the original point, Malcolm. Why did he make that unforced error with that post? I think it was on Truth Social. after Biden gave his speech. Why make the error?
Yeah, that's exactly the question right there. And it's sometimes he does, you know, again, back to the cult. A lot of these people that Tom was referencing earlier would say, well, but he's got a reason to do this. I mean, like they say that all the time, like whatever, he could do the stupidest thing or say the most ridiculous thing. Yeah, but there's a strategy behind that. They literally think, Tom, I mean, there are a lot of people who think, I mean, let me just say this, it may not be popular, but there are a lot of people who think Donald Trump is Jesus Christ.
Oh, I'm aware. You know, here's the deal. I got these people all the time that say this. Oh, it's part of a plan, and there were FEMA camps, and there was this, and there was that. You have no evidence of any of that. There's literally zero evidence that that was what was going to happen. Did they build camps? Did they build outreach? Yes, of course they did, and we're all aware of that. But the idea that they were going to start rounding us up on a national scale and force vaxxing us in FEMA camps, it literally would have resulted in civil war. There is no evidence whatsoever that was going to happen. So, you know, I mean, the idea, it just, to me, I support Donald Trump because he was the best man. He did a good job the first time, and he's the best man for the job, right? But he's not infallible.
Let me ask you first, Dr. McCullough, RFK, you know RFK pretty well, RFK Jr. The media is starting to get a little incensed and they're starting to position him. Oh, boy, he could be a third wrinkle in this thing. Oh, boy, he's getting 8, 9, 10, 11%. Oh, boy, who's he going to sink more, Biden or Trump? You see where we're at now in the political ramifications of this whole conversation. I mean, RFK doesn't have enough support to win it, that's for sure. But he surely has enough support to be a to destroy somebody's campaign here. What do you think about that? And whose would it be?
Well, I gave the statistics. 53% of Americans really believe the vaccines are doing damage to the population. Now, there's a subsegment of that 53 of which has basically ruined their lives, either the pandemic response under Trump or Biden, and now the vaccines have ruined their lives, their family lives. If the vaccine situation and the pandemic response is such a big issue for that fraction of the voters, they're going to actually swing towards RFK. Now, the question is, you know, the virus and the vaccine is an equal opportunity killer, killing, you know, affecting Republicans and Democrats the same. So I believe it's going to draw off both Biden and Trump. There'll be a draw off and it'll be relatively equal. Now, I checked the voters in Texas on the primaries. It's interesting to know this. About 29 million residents in Texas voting for the primaries, very, very thin. But Trump got 1.8 million votes. You know, these are just crude numbers, and Biden got 900,000 votes. Wow. So if that gives you any proxy, Trump may have enough of a cushion that he could survive RFK taking off some votes.
Right. So, okay, to that point now, Tom, final thought here. If this plays out to the way it is right now and everything stays status quo with the comments from Trump and so on and so forth, whether he steps in with another quote or whatever, I don't know. But with that said, can he sustain all of this, or does RFK become a wrinkle? Do you see it, as Dr. McCullough was just saying, an equal draw? Or how much of an impact? And will this hurt ultimately Trump in November is the big question, Tom Rentz.
Yes, it absolutely will hurt them. So I would take Peter's statistics and I would throw in some extras, right? So remember, give or take, 25% of Americans never got a single shot. That means these are people who lost friends, lost families, lost loved ones, lost jobs to avoid this. Another probably, whatever the number is, takes us well over 50% of America took one and rejected it. They didn't get a second. They feel bad, and a lot of them have had side effects or other issues. And of that crew, a lot of them only took that one so they could go travel, go do this, go do that. This is the single largest one-issue voting bloc in the history of this country. This has killed people and will continue to kill people. To realize the impacts of the cancers, and the heart, and all these different things, and all these long-term things, it's only going to get worse. And we're not stopping, right? So with that in mind, Trump is risking this election because he's too afraid to actually deal with Big Pharma. He's too afraid of that lobby. And he can shut up about it. I think he'll be okay. If he promotes it again, I think this could really be the thing that causes him. I think he could potentially lose an election.
That's the question. That's the answer I was wondering here. It is a very volatile situation. I've been talking about it for some years now in regards to Trump, praying that he would come out and have a public conversation and a press conference on this issue. As Dr. McCullough pointed out, he could handle this very graciously. In fact, if President Trump would listen to the broadcast and listen to the advice that Dr. McCullough put out there just moments ago, you may find some sound advice there from both Dr. McCullough and Attorney Tom Renz that could pull in a lot more of those folks, not only the Republicans and conservatives, by the way, but independents and moderates and left of center. These people are also part of this race, and they're going to vote for somebody, and they don't want Biden and his policies. The country is faltering here badly, and people know it. They can sense it. And so this is not the time for games. It is the time for real conversation and heroes to step forward to save our nation here. A tremendous thank you to both of your voices. I have such great respect for both of you, Attorney Tom Renz, Dr. Peter McCullough, and for all the work you've done for medical freedom and freedom, period, actually, for our nation is a beautiful thing here. Okay, friends, we're going to take a quick pause here and be back with Center for Immigration Studies. Big conversation coming up in a lawsuit that we're going to talk about as well. Mark Gregorian will join you just in a moment on Viewpoint This Sunday. Now, when God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all. At a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Mark Gregorian joins me, and Mark is as executive director of the Center for Immigration Studies. I was so anxious to talk to you because I know there was a lawsuit filed from Center for Immigration Studies. And this is in regards to a story that started to come out that really got under the skin of a lot of people. Not only was it like all of the chaos at the borders, the southern and northern borders, and this lackadaisical and kind of intentional policy that has undermined our sovereignty, for sure. Now they've given permission to a massive amount of people to fly in, and this is the lawsuit that you filed. And again, as you state in the paperwork here, it's they're inadmissible migrants ordinarily, but through this administration, they've just flown them in. And I understand there's no way to know even what airports, I think it was over 40 airports, but they won't even admit that part of the story. Tell us about this.
Yeah, what the administration started this policy that would, the theory is people are coming over illegally. So in order to reduce the statistics that the Border Patrol is apprehending illegal immigrants, let's just let them in legally, even though the law doesn't allow that. Congress has passed a very complicated immigration law, too complicated, in my opinion, with certain numerical limits. And those numerical limits each year, I think, are too high, but whatever, they're in the law. This administration doesn't like it, so they're just set up their own parallel immigration system to let in anybody they feel like. And specifically, the thing that we wrote about over the past couple of weeks was this program to fly people in originally from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, Venezuela, and they've added several other South American and Central American countries in the interim. And what people would have to do is have a sponsor in the United States, could be a business, could be a nonprofit group, might be a relative in some cases. And then they buy their plane ticket. They use this CBP1 cell phone app that this administration has used. And instead of going to the land border, making an appointment, they're able to use that app to make an appointment, basically, to just fly into the United States directly. So what we asked, we submitted a Freedom of Information Act request. FOIA is the shorthand for that they use here in Washington. Submitted a FOIA request saying, okay, well, how many people are flying in? And what airports are they coming from? And because they don't have to come from their own country, they just have to be citizens of the country. What airports are they coming from? And what airports are they going to in the United States? They gave us the number, and that was last year, 320,000, almost a third of a million people. Remember, this is beyond what Congress has authorized in the law. And it's supposedly they're admitted for 2 years temporarily. That's baloney. Once they're here, they get a work permit, and then it's game over. You know, they're here. So we asked, okay, well, what about the airports? We'd like to know where they're going. What we found actually most interesting that people didn't really latch onto as much is that they didn't tell us what airports. We're suing still about that. And the reason they gave for not telling us which airports all these people are flying into is that the program that this administration created is so overwhelming, the ability at airports for screening, that it creates a security vulnerability. In other words, the administration has created this program that creates a security vulnerability, and yet they're just continuing it anyway. It is outrageous, and, you know, it's something that, you know, they had initially when they started this a long time ago, they released a press release. So, you know, it's not like it's a secret, but it is basically, you know, stealthy, secretive, because they don't really want you to know about it. They would rather this continue under the radar. And they let in 30,000 plus people each month just in this program, let alone all the other things they're doing.
Mark, is this the same app? I assume, and I don't really know. Is this the same app that we've been talking about that they've given to all of the people around the world that are using to get in through the border?
Same app? It's the same app that they use. Okay. It's a sort of different program, but they still use that same app in place of the normal visa system that the State Department runs.
So this is a multifaceted app then. I've never looked at the app myself. I know you have.
It's on the App Store. You can download it. I mean, you're not supposed to use it for, you know, unless you're using it, but I mean, you can just download it and look at the thing. It's called CBP1, the number one. It's, you know, because for Customs and Border Protection. So yes, essentially they're using this app to replace the State Department's visa process. They're just making up their own
immigration
freelance immigration system.
What's remarkable to me, Mark, is they go around saying, the administration saying that, oh, this is a problem that the Congress needs to fix. Oh, this is a problem that is beyond us. We can't do anything about it. I mean, this is actually the language they put out there. And then, Mark, the Democrat operatives on all of the media channels get out in front of us. Oh, yeah, the president, they got the Senate to bill. Yeah, this is the darn Republicans that won't do anything. This poor president doesn't have the right means. And, of course, the president comes out and says, yeah, just give me the permission. This is hysterical, Mark. He asked for permission. He does. I seen him the other day. Well, I just need to know that I can do. I mean, who the hell are we kidding here, Mark? Who are we kidding?
It is hilarious. The president is saying he needs permission from Congress to enforce the law, but he's saying he doesn't need permission to let in hundreds of thousands of people, millions at this point, of people who have no right to be here.
They literally create an app. This is what I want Americans to understand, Mark. And I know they got the app, but now you just give another facet of the app. And now I'm saying to myself, OMG, these people create. So they put this talking point out there. They have this CBP app. They throw the app out there, inviting the world in. It's a red carpet sort of treatment. Yet they go around denying it all. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up, Mark.
It's amazing. And if you know, the basic outlook of this administration is to turn the immigration law on its head. The way the immigration law is written is that nobody gets to come in, no foreigner gets to move here, unless there's specific permission in the law. The way this president views this issue is that he can let in anyone he wants, and he can only keep out people if it specifically says so in the law.
You know,
like I said, it's the other way around. And no one, every person who wants to come here from abroad, right, whether they go to a consulate and ask for a visa, they show up at an airport, every one of them is assumed to be excludable. In other words, assumed not to have a right to move in, unless he can prove it. The burden of proof is on the foreigner. This administration says, no, the burden of proof is on the American people to give a reason why you shouldn't come in.
Mark, I'm wondering now, with things like the creation of this app, with the creation of this program, as you call it, to let inadmissible migrants break the rules, create your own set of rules, as you call it, a stealthy, well, really it is. You might call this whole thing a stealthy immigration plan, the Biden stealthy plan, because they went around the whole, they broke all the rules on day one, signed all the EOs, got rid of all that. And then come up with a whole new plan to facilitate, put the red carpet out, and then tell everybody, well, we just can't do anything. Our hands are tied because this damn Congress won't do nothing about it. I mean, so my question is, why hasn't or has this? I mean, I would just think to myself here a moment, Mark, that the cries and the sounds from Congress, at least from anybody, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, anybody who really cares about the truth and the country, why aren't their voices so incredibly loud on the points that we're talking about right here?
Yeah, there's a couple of points here. First, states have sued. Texas, in fact, was suing over the parole, use of parole, not in the flight program we're talking about, direct flights, but the same kind of thing at the land borders. And the Supreme Court recently said, we're not even going to rule whether it's legal or illegal because it doesn't matter because Texas doesn't have standing to sue. In other words, Texas can't demonstrate that it had some specific harm done to it that allowed it to bring a lawsuit. So essentially what the Supreme Court has said is that the executive branch has a free hand to simply ignore immigration law as much as it wants, and there's no remedy in court. The only way is to throw him out of office or impeach him. That's unfortunate, but the point is people have tried. The other thing, though, is the House of Representatives, the Republicans in the House, did pass a good border bill. This was back in May. So whatever it is now, 9 months
last
ago
year,
or something.
Last year.
would have hemmed in the president and would really have made a difference, not like the comical Senate bill. The problem is they were sawed off at the knees by the Senate Republican leadership, by Senator McConnell, that engaged in that silly negotiation and came up with that ridiculous Senate bill. So when the side opposing the president can't get its story straight, it's hard to just blame the media, which is plenty of blame here, but it's hard just to blame them because the Republicans aren't giving a clear single message in opposition to Biden.
That's incredible. And I'm glad you just put that out there again to remind us all on that other bill, which I'm well aware of last year, but that McConnell was such an influence, and he was on that. But to remind folks about that is important. It's going to be awfully interesting to see leadership change in the Senate. Finally, he's the longest standing guy in that position. Is a leader in the Senate history. So it's going to be awfully nice to sweep that out and sweep somebody new in. For sure. The other story I'd like to talk to you about, Mark, is a little bit about this Lake and Riley. We'll get the name right here for sure. These Venezuelan gangs, we're seeing the crime already, and we ain't even anywhere near the tip of this iceberg, Mark.
No, I mean, this particular Venezuelan gang that's getting all the attention, Tren de Aragua, I think it's called, I've seen it said that they make MS-13 look like amateurs. So, I try to always figure people do things because they think it's the right thing to do. And the question is, what are they thinking? The administration is not, the folks in there are not saying, rubbing their hands together and saying, boy, let's let in more criminals to kill Americans because we want them to kill Americans. They're not monsters. They're regular. They're deluded. But their thinking, I'm pretty sure, is that it's, you know, there's this saying they say about in regular criminal justice, better that 100 guilty men go free than one innocent man be convicted. In other words, that it should always sort of err on the side of letting people go. Well, that's this administration's perspective on immigration. Better 100 murdering gang members accidentally be let into the country than one regular working stiff somehow being kept out, because they think that coming to the United States is a right for foreigners. The American people have no right to say no. So that when criminals do get in, they see that as unfortunate, but as a kind of cost of doing business. It's mistakes happen, but it's more important that the border be kept open than we, you know, the way they would see it, overcompensate by keeping out regular folks in order to also make sure we keep out criminals. That's the way they look at it. And that's a terrible perspective, but it's at least explicable. It's at least understandable what's going on in their heads. We just need to remove them from the Oval Office so they don't have the power to do that.
Yeah. That is a really interesting analysis. You really think through all these nuances. You live, sleep, and breathe this stuff. So you sort of get into the weeds a bit.
Or my sins. Yeah.
Immigration has skyrocketed to the number one issue in the nation. That's not a common thread that happens in America. As you know darn well, the economic forecast and people's wallets usually are what they're voting on, but things are so bad. And you and I predicted this some time ago, actually, and surely that's what's happening. That should drive this campaign if people are reminded of this and how many more people are killed, or if we have some sort of a terrorist act or something else. And I guess the last quick point, Mark, is this should impact the 2024 election in significant ways if everything continues on this trajectory. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, certainly. I mean, there's no question about it. And I got to say, the administration and the Biden campaign just seem to be, you know, completely screwing this up, even from their perspective. I mean, I don't want them to win personally. I mean, the center doesn't get involved in elections, but I mean, as a citizen, I certainly don't want the guy to get reelected. Like you said, is the polling shows it's one of the most important issues, if not the most important.
The most right now. Yeah.
Right. Which, like you said, is unusual. Usually it's jobs, inflation, and that's still important, obviously, but inflation is up there. Now, they're running against a guy whose issue is immigration, and the president had two opportunities to make some kind of dramatic announcement when he went and visited the border and then when he had the State of the Union address. Neither time did he say anything. It was just the usual, not my fault. If they lose, it's going to be in large part because they completely don't understand how this immigration issue resonates with lots of voters, not just conservatives.
That's right. Well, I can tell you right now, as I recall just off the top of my mind, a couple of weeks back, I shared with listeners the Gallup poll that was out that was shocking, the numbers in it. But also the number two thing, this is how bad things are right now, the trajectory of our nation and the 2024 race. The number one was the immigration and the borders of the policies are really concerning to Americans, number one. Number two, here's the drum roll on this whole thing to tell you how bad it is. Number two thing is going to be the direction government. Government is the biggest problem. That's the second policy.
Yep.
The third is the economy, Mark. You can't make that up either. Wow.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. Because usually, obviously, people are concerned about, you know, whether they're whether they have a job, whether they're what's the groceries cost. All that's normal. Yeah. To be mainly concerned about that, you really have to screw up to make those issues be the top issues for people.
Yeah. And a big thank you to our dear friend, Mark Gregorian. And again, CIS.org, Center for Immigration Studies. There's nothing like it out there. And the work they do is entirely upfront, credible, and very, very important work. And we are blessed, surely, to have them. In our nation, fighting for freedom again. And all this show today, everybody's fighting for freedom. That's what it's all about. And thank you, friends. And you also get out there and help us fight for freedom. Please join us back at AmericaOutloud.news and share the out loud truth and do help us move the bar forward and do everything we can to prosper and save our nation is what this fight is about here. It's time to get involved and get loud, America.